thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
That you be glorified. That you be seen as you ought to be seen. That others, Lord God, will see Jesus through us. So, Lord, let this revival be one where the character of Christ comes shining through in our lives. Let this revival be where people see hope, where people can lay hold of faith to believe in something, to believe in you. Lord, this is our end prayer, that the whole world might know you and glorify you. So, Father, we thank you for times when you spend time with us. And Lord, a special touch, special grace comes from you. But Lord, let us see it in the light of what you want to accomplish in all people's lives. So we're believing for that, Father. Together we are believing that a great thing is going to happen for your name's sake, both here and around us, and hopefully, prayerfully, around the world, oh God. Because of Jesus, we pray these things. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let it be done. Let's give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Well, it's great. Once again, good morning, everyone. This morning, I want to take some time and share with you in the same vein of, I know it's been kind of happening here this morning already. And so we're going to be sharing out of the book of Genesis, looking at chapter 13 and at selective verses as we go through 13 all the way up to chapter 19. In this particular portion of Scripture, there's a story that comes out here. And it's a story where it has several characters involved in, but two main characters, and that is Abraham, who's considered the father of our faith, and then one of his relatives, whose name is Lot. And it takes place around a familiar area, and it's the area of Sodom and Gomorrah, and the things that happened there. And we know what happened there, the judgment that happened there. And the story begins, and this is what we're going to be talking about today. And for the next 3 weeks, we set aside 3 weeks to deal with the subject of faith. But faith, as we're going to approach it a little differently than we approached it before. Today, we're going to talk about faith choices and their consequences. We all are told that we live by faith, but you know, even as you live by faith, you make choices. And there are consequences to those choices that you make. So we want to talk about that a little bit. Next week, I want to talk about something I haven't talked about in a long time. And it's something that's so exciting. I'm going to talk about fasting. Exciting, right? Come on. And I have to apologize. I haven't taught on fasting the way I should have been teaching on fasting. I haven't been fasting like I should be fasting because I realize that there is something that happens when you fast. Now, you can mention the word fasting and say, well, man, you're going way back to the Old Testament. You're going way back before Jesus, because after Jesus, we just don't do those things anymore. Jesus fasted, and things happened as a result of his fast. Matter of fact, he told us that we would be fasting. He told us that there were certain things cannot happen unless you do fast and pray. So we're going to get on that next week. And then the week after that, we're actually going to practice it. You're saying, I need a fast anyway. Come on, turn to someone and say, I need a fast anyway. You know you do. If nothing, for no other reason but because of the sins you committed over the holidays. But we're going to talk about fasting. It is a spiritual thing. So we're going to teach on that and how that applies to our faith. And then the week after that, we're going to talk about faith and fears. how we're going to face our fears with faith, and we're going to conquer our fears because of faith. So that's kind of where we're headed for the rest of this month, and I look forward to it. We look forward to sharing those things with you. So today, faith choices and their consequences. Now, let me tell the story as it unfolds here. In chapter 13, we're going to pick it up there. And as I said, it's about Abraham and it's about Lot. Abraham was called from a land that was east of the Jordan River, east of where modern-day Israel is today, in the area of Iran and Iraq. He was told to leave that area, and God was leading him and some of his family members to a land that would end up be called the Promised Land, or Israel itself. And God said, there I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make you your name great, I'm going to make your family great, and as a result will be, you'll be a blessing to all the world. So they go to that land, and while they're in the land, they become quite prosperous. Their herds increase, both Abraham's herds and Lot's herds, because you have Abraham and Lot. They had come to the place, though, where they were crowding in on one another. Abraham, taking the lead, realizes that there's battles going on, there's disputes going on between his workers, herdsmen, and Lot's herdsmen, and he takes the initiative. In verse 8, he said, please let there be no strife between us, of chapter 13. And he goes on to tell him, he said, listen, let's separate. But he takes the lead, and it reveals something about Abraham's heart and trust in God. He said, if you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'm going to go to the left. He totally left it up to the hands of God, really. You think he's leaving it up to Lot, but he just totally trusts that God's going to work it all out. So we find that Lot makes a choice, and he sees the area that he wants to move to, and he chooses that, and that's kind of the beginning of the story. Well, the result of it is that Lot finds himself in trouble, and we go from there. So let me just point out five things that I find in this story that will be helpful to us in our walk of faith. How many need a little bit of help in our walk of faith? I do. I need some keys. I need some guidance. And I find the Word of God gives us those guidance that we need. First of all, let's put this down. Lot's choice was based on what he could see with his natural eyes. There was a big difference between Lot's choice and Abraham's choice. Abraham was choosing based on a trust in God that God would work it out. Lot's choice was based on what he saw. And what he saw in verse 10 there, he lifted his eyes and he saw the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. In the natural, he saw, hey, that looks like a good piece of ground. That looks like something where I could really prosper in. It looks like something will be a blessing to me. I choose that. So he looked with the natural and he made that choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Lot was walking by sight. Now, what we have to be careful of in 2012 and beyond is that we have to be careful that we're looking to God for direction and not to man. We have to be careful that we're not looking for what in the natural looks good, because the natural instinct is that we need some kind of relief and we want it as quickly as possible so something looks good, and rather than pray about it and seek God about it, we make a decision based on what we see and not what we believe can happen by faith with God. Does that make sense a little bit? We have to learn how to make choices in faith. And sometimes that means pulling back from what looks good in the natural and taking a little bit more time, because that's where the danger comes in. That's where the consequences begin to occur when we make those choices that, wow, that looks good. And especially in the time that we're living now. Because we're looking for some kind of relief. We're looking for something that will just get us out of where we're at, whether it be the economy, whether it be just the world situation, anything can happen, whether it be the elections that are coming up, and we're hearing a lot about the election. Listen, we've got to be people that walk by faith. The ground that Lot was choosing, you could call it the ground of self-dependence. He depended on himself a lot. He depended on himself to work things out a lot. He thought, this looks good, so I could make it work there. Whereas I think the approach is better, the one that Abraham make. Not so much I can make it better. I just trust that God's going to make it better for me. The outward was his motive for making the decision. It was an earthly motive. It was a fleshly motive. Now, probably he was single at this particular time. So he didn't have a wife or a family yet. So where does he find his wife and family? Down in an area where it wasn't the best place to choose a wife, Sodom and Gomorrah. So he chose someone from Sodom. He was charmed, if you will, with the beauty of the lowlands, the watered lowlands. Be careful that you're not charmed by the world. Be careful that you're not tricked by appearances. Young people, if you're single, be careful that you don't make your choices based on, wow, that looks like something I want. The consequences could be devastating. Wait on the Lord. Let the Lord help you make that decision. The second thing we find here goes along with it is Lot's choice put him in a dangerous position. We have to be careful that the choices we make don't put us in a dangerous position. In verse 13, it tells us that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. You know, that should have been some kind of warning flag. You know what I'm saying? Just the very fact that they were known for their wickedness, just because it was known. It wasn't like they were ignorant of it. They had some dealings with it. They knew what was going on down there. And just to know what's going on and yet move closer to it, come on. Sounds ridiculous. Sounds like something, wow, why would he ever do something like that? But how often do we move ourselves close to a dangerous situation? We should get away from it, as far away from it as possible. As far away as possible. Now, because he put himself in this dangerous position, there's an interesting verse in the New Testament. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 2. Now, Lot was a righteous man. He had a relationship with God. He probably had gained that relationship because of Abraham and all that Abraham had taught him about it, but or his family. So he had some kind of relationship. But you see, that still didn't keep him from making these wrong decisions. Look what it says about him. Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man, being Lot, dwelling among them, note this, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing the lawless deeds. So he was tormented by this. And I get a picture here of people who have a relationship with Christ. They've made a decision to receive Christ, and they're kind of, you know, excited about that relationship, but they live in such a way where it's kind of a, I want to be careful here, they have like a divided heart. And they like the relationship with the Lord, but they still get close to where they were before or close to worldly things that are going on. They keep themselves in a dangerous situation. As a result of it, they're tormented. How are they tormented? Because you see, the temptations are so great and they get captured by those temptations that they're trying to serve the Lord, they fall back in. They're trying to serve the Lord, they fall back in. How many know that sounds like a tormented life? You're trying to do, but yet you find yourself, maybe it's because you're too close to a dangerous situation. Maybe it's because you're exposing yourself to something that you need to get a little further away. Some decisions that you need to make, faith choices you need to make that remove you from that lifestyle. You see, God did not call them to mingle with those that he was bringing them out from. You got to go back to this whole purpose of God. God was calling them out so that they would be a separate people, a special people unto himself, a people that would be known by their loyalty to the one true God, and yet not to mingle, but he didn't call them to out to go back in. Now, I want to be very careful here because, you see, I do believe that we need to have some kind of influence on our culture and the people around us that aren't living righteous lives. I want to be able to share with those who don't know my Christ the goodness of our God, the mercies of our God. So how do I do it? How do I maintain some kind of relationship to do that, yet not actually put myself in that culture or in a dangerous situation? It takes a wisdom of God. It, first of all, it takes a decision that, listen, I can do that. I could still be friendly. I could still reach out. I could still carry a spirit of acceptance. Listen, I understand, but I don't have to adapt to their culture to have an influence on them. I don't have to lower my standards. I don't have to lower my values in order to have an effect on someone who doesn't know Christ. Matter of fact, I need to keep my standards. I need to live by my values. I need to be loyal to my God. I need to show, because even though I'm reaching out, you see, that's a quandary that they'll find themselves in. Here's a guy that he looks like a good guy, and yet he serves this God. He's so dedicated to this God, yet I like him, you know, and I don't like all of that. You see what I'm saying? You set a standard. You draw a line in the sand. You don't become like them, but you're there, and you're not in a dangerous situation. You're maintaining your lifestyle of holiness at the same time reaching down in. You hear what I'm saying? That's what I want this church to be. I want us to have a spirit of acceptance. I want us to be able to relate to people and bring them in, but I want us to be able to have a set of standards, not rules and regulations, but standards to live by. I don't want to adapt to the culture. I want the culture to adapt to us. And when I say us, I mean to God and His ways. I don't want to team up with unbelievers. I'm going to separate myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul makes it very clear. He said, come out from among them. He said, you got to come out from among them. You got to be separate. You see, light and darkness don't mix it. You got to be the light. So let the darkness see your light and come to the light. So it's very clear. God said, I want to be your God. I want you to be my people. Thirdly, Lot's choice moved him out from the protection of the promise. Now you got to get this one. He moved him out from the protection of the promise. God made a promise to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham and to his family. You find it in Genesis chapter 12. And you know, with the promises of God, there comes a protection. I call it a promise of protection. Jesus said it to his disciples. He said, listen, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I'm sending you out to do a difficult job, but I want to let you know that I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you to the very end. I promise to be there. I promise that I'm gonna bless your life. But there's a protection there. And see, Lot moved out from the protection of the promise. In Genesis chapter 14, we find a situation happening in verses chapters 14, 15, 16, 17. There's a war that takes place in the area. Kings are fighting against other kings, and countries around them are trying to conquer other countries. And what happens is Lot, because he's down in Sodom, he's captured. He's led away captive. Now, you got to get this. He's led away captive. Abraham gets wind of this. He hears about Lot and his family being taken away. Abraham rises up. He gathers his household together, people who work for him. And there are so many people who work. God has so blessed him. He had an army of people working for him. He goes against the king that had captured him. He takes back Lot. He actually defeats this king, takes him back. And Lot is restored. Lot goes right back to where he's at. But he captured. Now, here's the point here. You see, Abraham and his family was strong enough to protect Lot. But he moved so far away from the protection, he went out from underneath the protection. God is well able to protect you. God is well able to keep you. But I'll tell you, if you move out from underneath that protection, you're on your own, brother, sister, whoever we might be. Does that make sense? So I put it down this way. The anointing is where the promise is. The power is where the promise is. I want to stay underneath the promise of God. I don't want to move from underneath that. Psalm 91 is a beautiful psalm. You ought to take time and read it sometime this week. Just a few of the verses there. In verses 9 and 10, it says, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. I want God to be my shelter this year and beyond. I want to stay underneath that covering. I want to stay underneath that grace. I don't want to move out on my own. I don't want to put myself in a dangerous situation. I want to be where God's protection is. It's quite possible that you could move out from that. The fourth thing that happened was something that happened now after God, or just during the time when God was sending judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of people question, why does God judge cities like that? Or why would God go to such extreme force and power to do it? He did it during Noah's time too, if you remember. The whole world was so evil that God looked down on it and he said, man, we've got a problem. You have to understand, the bigger picture is this. If God did not move in that situation, all of the world would have been destroyed from within. And God, not willing that they perish, he wanted to save some. He moved in that way in order to preserve mankind. He was doing the same thing with Sodom and Gomorrah. See, the wickedness would influence the rest of the countries around them, and the same thing would have happened. So he dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah because of the wickedness. Now, he let this be known to Abraham. And of course, Abraham was making deals with God. It's a very comical story as you read it, going back and forth. But the end result was that God had promised that he would go down and spare his family, get his family out of there. But here's the interesting thing in Genesis 19 and verse 16. While the angels were trying to convince them that judgment is coming, and it was so obvious at that time is homosexuality was running rampant to the point where these angels came into town and these men were trying to get them, and even to the point where breaking into Lot's house, and Lot was begging with them not to do this kind of thing. It was evil. And the angels then, you know, blinded the men. That was the story. And they were taking Lot out. He said, Lot, you got to get your wife, get your children, and let's get out of here. Judgment is coming. Lot, realizing all this, here's what it says. When Lot still lingered, say lingered, means hesitated. Some of your translation will say, he hesitated, the angel seized his hand. Why did he still linger? Why is it so obvious what was going to happen? So obvious that these were angels of the Lord because of what he was seeing happen. Why did they linger? Why did they hesitate? Well, the only thing I see is this, is that his earlier choice to put himself in a dangerous situation, to walk by sight and not by faith, what had happened over the years of this tormenting by the wickedness around him, he had developed some habits that were hard to break. Did you get that? He had some habits that were not of God, that were hard to break. And you linger because you hesitate. God wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. But we linger. We hesitate. We still fool around with it. Why are we so foolish to do that? Because that habit has become something that we're comfortable with. And God's trying to take us out into a faith walk. He's trying to take us out to believe him for deliverance. He's trying to take us out to a walk that, man, we can't even comprehend in our natural mind. And that's the problem. We're looking at this thing too much in the natural. Listen, God is able to do all those things. But we linger. We linger in the midst of those temptations. And those temptations have a way. Joshua really felt the same way when he talked to the children of Israel at the end of his life. He said, listen, why do you still go back and forth between choosing whether to choose God or choose this pagan worship? He said, I think, Joshua, I'm reading between the lines here. He said, listen, do what you want. If you want to serve Baal and the other pagan, go ahead, choose and serve that. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Who's going with me? That's what he was saying. Why do you linger back and forth? Why do you vacillate back and forth? Listen, the question is for us today. Why do we keep going back and forth who we're going to give our allegiance to? Hey, let's give it to God and go on with it. He has the power to deliver us. That leads me to the last one here. Lot ended up settling for something less than what God had for him. The end result was They were settling for something less than what God had for them. In Genesis chapter 19, and the verses are 17 through 20 there, but what we have is after the angels finally seize them by their hand, and you get this picture, they seized him, they're dragging him out. First of all, he lost his wife, and he lost his two sons-in-laws. The only two that are left were his two daughters and Lot himself, and they're the only one who are escaping. They were escaping out, and the angels said to them, "We're going to take you to the mountain. God wants you to go to the mountain." And Lot said, No, I'm afraid to go to the mountain. I'm afraid of what's up there. I don't know what's up there, so I'm afraid of what's up there. Let me settle. Let me go over to this city called Zoar, Z-O-A-R. Do you know what it means? Little place. Let it set in. He was settling for something little when God had something big for him. He said, settle. And now, the reasoning behind it, there's no logic, because he was afraid to go to the mountain. How could he be afraid to go to the mountain? The same God that had the power to deliver him from this wickedness, to send down judgment from heaven, the same God that had showed him this mighty power, his mighty hand at work, wasn't it the same God that could take him to the mountain? Listen, the same God that delivered you out of your sin, out of the shame of your sin, out of the bondage of your past, listen, it's the same God that can take you to the mountain. You don't have to be afraid in 2012. You don't have to be afraid if you're going to make it or not going to make it. You don't have to be afraid of these things that befall all of mankind. Listen, God is well able to take you to the mountain. You got to do it by faith. You got to choose. God, I want to go to the mountain. I don't want to settle for the little places. We're settling for the little things. We've settled in for little things. We settled in for a little bit of God. We settled in for a little bit of the anointing of God. We settled in for less than what God has for you. And God's saying, listen, I've got a mountaintop experience for you. Do you want to go? You see, if God did anything, he did it on the mountains. When he took Moses up and he did something special for Moses. The rest of the people were afraid to go up. They said, you go to God for us. Let God speak to you and then you speak to us. Listen, God wants you to go to the mountain and he wants to speak to you. He wants to show you something glorious. He wants to show you something marvelous. Do you have the faith to believe it? Would you stand with me, please? I believe that's what God wants from us. I believe that we have choices to make as we go on these days ahead. But let us make faith choices. Let us make choices where the consequences are nothing but opening us up to the power of God and the blessing of God on our life. How many want that kind of blessing on their life? Listen, it's there for you. And you might be here today and you're saying, listen, man, he's talking about all these things. Is this really? And maybe you're just seeking and trying to find out if God's even real. I want to tell you, God is real. He's real and he's powerful. And he wants to be involved in your life. He wants to do something.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.